Welcome to That 80s Show. And Dory, it's not uncommon that you and I will have flashbacks.
I said flashbacks?
80s flashbacks? We have 80s flashbacks.
Sorry, just get to be clear then.
Yeah.
All right.
But I had the weirdest flashback just before we started recording. I went to go make a wee.
Oh.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Did you say, tell him I said hi?
TMI, too much information.
What a weird thing. I went to take a wee. Did you tell him I said hi? Okay. Right.
Mr. Urinal.
Oh, that's an 80s kid thing. Give me your pee-pee. That was Look Who's Talking To.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
No. Don't I mean, you remember? Now I do. Now I do. I hadn't.
Look Who's Talking To with a... Give me your pee-pee.
Oh my God.
So it's not uncommon for us to have flashbacks.
So what was your particular bathroom flashback?
It wasn't bathroom related.
Oh, okay.
It could be because something in the bathroom reminded me of the first studio where we did the first variation of the show.
Okay.
Way back then, those of you who have been listening to us, there was a time you may have found us from Cliff Central days and stayed with us, stayed loyal. Thank you very much. I think we're the only surviving show from Cliff Central that's still going.
Possibly.
I think only Timothy Maurice's show, I think, is the only other show that's still going from Cliff Central. All of them, the rest went by the wayside. But before that...
Yeah, you see, that wasn't our first time.
No. This show was like a online radio show for an internal radio station.
Yes.
At the radio station we worked at. Kind of like keep, you know, because everyone who works in a radio station is like a frustrated radio presenter. You know, but let's be honest.
Generally speaking.
And they're all like, no, keep those people busy, give them. But we had the weirdest little studio that was actually the newsreader's booth.
Yes.
And
I remember it.
I think it was because just before we left this studio, the aircon wasn't working. And then we're like, remember, I was like, shit, that little box was so hot.
Mm.
And if you don't know, soundproof studios get very, very hot.
Yes.
Because you can't have like normal lights. They make noise. It's downlight. So soundproof studios get very hot. It was very hot. It's so unrelated to absolute fucking anything to anyone listening. But
I remember we used to play a lot of Wham.
Always. Well. First Wham sighting popping up later in the show.
Okay.
But I want to tell you, I want to start off talking about this, things I didn't know. Who framed Roger Rabbit?
I can't remember.
Who created it? Who do you think created it?
Roger Rabbit.
Who created Roger Rabbit?
Someone involved with Looney Tunes.
Okay, well, so that's, I get the confusion because as I said that to you, I realized that it was made by Disney.
Okay.
But it amalgamated Disney characters plus Looney Tune characters all living in Toon World. So it was like this cross-pollination of all the different characters for Who Framed
Roger Rabbit, if you will.
But you know that because I just assumed, oh, well, Disney must have they. No. Who Framed Roger Rabbit was actually created by Gary K. Wolf. He was the author of Roger Rabbit. He owned the IP. And he sold it to Disney, right?
Did he write a book or a play, a screenplay?
He wrote a series of books.
Oh.
Right? Roger Rabbit.
Huh.
And he sold it to Disney. Now, after 35 years, the copyright has come back to him.
Okay, hang on. Were these were not children's books?
They weren't. I can't find much detail about the actual books.
Yes.
He had this character, Roger Rabbit, in the story.
Roger Rabbit sounds like a children's book, but if the movie is in any way accurate to the books, definitely not a children's book.
Right. So that leads into what I'm about to tell you. So
okay.
Now it's come back under him. He can now do with Roger what he wants with Roger Rabbit. Disney never did much with Roger Rabbit.
No.
They made the movie. I never understood that. The amount of shit that they bought back over the years, and they never did anything with Roger Rabbit. They could have done so much more.
I can't remember how the movie ended. Did it leave room for a sequel?
Oh, they always leave room for a sequel, Dory. Who audited Roger Rabbit? Who impregnated Roger Rabbit? I mean, there's so much you could. I mean, have you ever taken a trial on Disney Plus?
I haven't.
Dory, so much fucking shit in there. So much. And not even a spin-off Who Framed Roger Rabbit series. There were a couple of toys. There was a video game, but they kind of like never did anything with him, which I felt was like a bit of a, like, why? Okay. Anyway.
Was it too controversial, a human and a rabbit being married? Maybe they were like, you know what?
It's almost as if you know the story. So Gary K. Wolf, he's back in it. He's now saying, okay, listen, I got Roger Rabbit back, and I'm going to explore new Roger Rabbit projects. However, I need the right partners because, like, Disney did really great things with my idea, you know?
True.
So anything I do has to have the same production value, tone, script, empathy, and character development. Now, on top of his projects is a live-action Jessica Rabbit movie based on his book, Jessica Rabbit. I don't know how to say this, but it's spelled serious with an X, business. Jessica Rabbit, X serious business. Jessica Rabbit, sex serious business. One would assume this one is the furthest along. Now.
Okay.
Jessica Rabbit has an origin story. Right? So there's a book. He's got a book, Jessica Rabbit, X serious business.
Got it.
Which is based on her origin story starring Jessica Krupnik, an ordinary, awkward human living a dull life before becoming the character we know. Right?
Did she grow up on a farm in Missouri?
Not stipulated. Could be Omaha.
Okay.
She becomes a secret agent after joining a covert organization called X-Serious.
Okay.
Training intensively and partnering with top operative Rob, to stop a villain named the Clown. It reframes Jessica as intelligent, capable, and underestimated. Not underendowed, underestimated. Focusing on her skills, growth, and sensitivity, rather than just her iconic appearance. The book expands the Roger Rabbit universe, explaining how Toontown works, blending spy thriller elements with surreal cartoon magic. It was published in 2022, and now he wants to bring it to life.
Oh, so this is a new book.
Yes. So he must have got, I don't know how he's writing books in 2022, but he only got, maybe he just got Roger Rabbit back. Maybe he got the other characters. Fair game. Questions. It brings to mind Suzanne Summers' husband bringing her back in AI form, because we all know Jessica Rabbit. She evoked feelings in many a young boy.
It wasn't her fault. She was drawn that way.
Okay, next up on that 80s show, because we cannot. So, do we want to see a live action Jessica Rabbit?
I'd be curious. Who would play her?
Probably Sydney Sweeney. That would definitely
be. Doesn't have enough curves.
No, Sydney Sweeney's pretty curvy.
Is she?
Yeah, very busty. Yeah. Sydney Sweeney's in everything. It would definitely be Sydney Sweeney.
Okay.
Yeah. So we wait for it. We wait for the live action Jessica and all the other stuff. You must imagine how much fan fiction, AI porn of Jessica Rabbit there must be. Sora must be soaring with Jessica Rabbit porn. Can you imagine that shit?
So do you think this book explains how she met Roger?
It should. It should, right? Because she's in Toontown. So it's got to, because no one ever understood how they got together.
Yeah.
It's just, I mean, it's one thing that it's a human and a rabbit, but your cartoons, we can get over it.
Yeah.
It's another thing that he's weird. He wasn't rich. He was a bit of a chancer. She's gorgeous.
Look, we don't know what other assets he had.
Ah, lucky rabbit's foot. Is that what you're thinking of?
I'm thinking.
He's a bit of a thumper, if this is what we're, you know. What's up, Doc? You know, I'll show you what's up. What's up anyway? You know, this is... Is there any more famous rabbits? We're just going to leave it there. you know, you'll hear it here first. As soon as there is a Jessica Rabbit live action played by Sydney Sweeney, we will be all over that. 80s sitcoms. A lot of stuff going on about Golden Girls lately, because there's a book about the Golden Girls. Lots of feuds coming up about them.
Uh-huh.
I found this list on ScreenRant. 5 perfect 80s sitcom where every episode is a 10 out of 10.
Holy
now
moly.
That is a big shout, because like,
yeah,
I would have watched a lot of 80s sitcoms, but to now go back and remember, were they all 10 out of 10? All of them. All
I'm
of them.
Trying to think what it could be.
Even the I Remember episodes.
Yeah.
You know, the filler episodes where they're kind of like just, you know, would play a whole
tangent
bunch.
Tangent episodes.
Is that what they're called?
I think so, yeah. Where they like go off the main storyline.
Oh, not even those.
Oh, you mean like the flashback?
The flashback ones, the lazy ones where like they're somehow like maybe stuck in a snowstorm and then they start remembering back and they play clips from all other episodes.
Okay, no, that's...
I hate those. It always like comes in at about like the 3-quarter-way point, right? Just before the denouement. So I mean, 10 out of 10, even over the Christmas episodes, like, let's be honest. Okay, every sitcom had a Christmas episode. They were never good. And they used to batch them for over the Christmas period. You used to watch them on your Christmas holidays. They were never good. The Thanksgiving ones, we just didn't get. We just didn't understand what the fuck's going on.
So I'm curious what's on this list.
So
then,
to go where every single one of them is 10 out of 10.
They're saying every episode from the whole show. The whole
from
series.
From the whole series.
I don't believe it.
The writer of this article, a very young looking lady. So I'm kind of going, she's making spurious claims.
Yes.
She's not watched every single episode.
Maybe she spoke to her grandparents.
Who won't remember every single episode.
No, I mean, I don't.
And then goes, who's ever going to fact check this? Well, this little podcast from South Africa about the 80s will talk about it because they won't fact check it. They're not going to go fucking watch every episode again. They won't remember shit.
We will give our opinion.
But we will give this article screen runs. I'll post the list up on that 80 Show Essay Facebook page. And we're going to discuss it. Where every single episode is 10 out of 10, starting with 166 episodes of Growing Pains.
Not a chance.
Fucking no ways.
Not a chance.
No. I mean, in the hierarchy of Growing Pains, family, you're not doing 10 out of 10 on Growing Pains.
No. Even if, like me, you had a huge crush on Kirk Cameron in your youth, still no.
So let's find out what they say about it. If we ignore the slightly sexist connotation, what is that? I don't get it.
What sexist connotation?
I suppose because many people were surprised by the idea of a husband and father staying home to look after the kids while the wife works. But he didn't. He was a psychologist. He worked from, I'm thinking of Family Ties.
I don't even remember.
No, Adam Thicke's character was a doctor. Yeah, Dr. Jason Seaver.
Yeah, I think he did have a job.
He did have a job, but he just worked for, it was just his office was at home. It was good enough for the Huxtables.
Oh, let's not go there. Okay. If that is on this list, we're going to have problems.
Anyway, the younger characters have distinct personalities, serving as great examples, but what it does not go into, the highlight episodes. This is what I'm saying. Give me the episodes. Why are you saying this is 10 out of 10?
I don't remember a single episode.
I'm not having it. Then it goes in 176 episode Family Ties.
I mean, it's possible. This one I'd give some possibility to.
That every single one could be
because
10 out
Michael
of 10.
J. Fox was always brilliant.
He was, but was he in every episode? So maybe every episode. Surely there were some times where he's on Back to the Future.
Yeah, I don't know.
And he couldn't have. There was Shijin Khan. There's no way he was on every episode.
I mean, we could fact check it, but
Dory,
why?
this is the flaw of this whole segment. We could fact check it, but we won't. We'll rather
we
take someone.
We have the information at our fingertips, and we don't care. We're not
just put
do
in ChatGPT. All it's going to do is reference this article again. It's going to be all fucking doom loop.
Yeah.
Right. I just got a pad for the next 5 minutes, so just go with me. The next one, I'm definitely calling bullshit on this one. 260 episodes. Surprisingly, never in a fucking million years is 10 out of 10 Murphy Brown.
Oh my God.
No.
Not a chance.
No.
Wasn't that great?
I don't think I got it because, so you can't relate because we watched, it ran from 88 to 98. I wasn't working.
Yeah.
You know? And Murphy Brown is very much a workplace comedy.
I mean, I used to watch it because there wasn't much else to do, but I certainly, I mean, it's the first time I've thought of it probably since then.
Wasn't a highlight. I'll tell you when often I think of Murphy Brown.
When?
You know her painter?
No.
You don't remember she had a painter?
No.
Dory, come on. She had a painter who was painting her apartment. I think they eventually had a relationship and have a kid together. I stand corrected.
Okay.
But the painter was always there. He just came in and he painted for the entire 260 episodes. Never finished painting. And I remember as a kid going, that is ridiculous. How can a man working in your house take so long to finish the job until I became an adult and started working with contractors?
Oh, yes. I said, like, actually
attracts. Totally fucking plausible.
Yes.
In fact, I wish my contractors had such a luxurious hair. I wouldn't mind having them around. But that's something you can only get in
the painter.
So it was played by, just quick Google here, Robert Pastorelli. He played Alden Bernecki. He was a laid-back New Age house painter hired by Murphy, who became a longtime friend and beloved character on the show. He stayed for 6 seasons, becoming a friend and occasional conscience to Murphy. Okay, it doesn't say that they had kids together. So,
okay.
Yeah. Robert Pastorelli. Fun name. Fun to say.
Can't think who he is.
Not 10 out of 10. This next one, even worse. We both like the show. Night Court. 193 Ooh. Episodes, 10 out of 10.
Again,
could be. You think it could be?
I do think it could be because of the characters. Yeah. If Bull's in every episode.
And you would likely be.
Does that still make it 10 out of 10?
Having a character in every episode does not make it 10 out of 10.
Not necessarily.
What would make it 10 out of 10?
I'm trying to think what would make anything 10 out of 10.
I think you got to have a pretty good laugh. For sitcoms, got to be a pretty good laugh per minute ratio.
Yeah.
I think you need at least 2 laughs for every on-screen minute.
If I go back into my 80s child brain, the thing that would make me say, oh, 10 out of 10, Miami Vice.
Sitcoms, though.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Miami Vice.
Why Miami
Vice? Knight Rider.
Why?
MacGyver. Because those were unmissable. Yo, I did not miss those shows.
Mm.
And Miami Vice was hard because of the small cost. Mm. It was hard work. Sitcoms.
So
I'm
what
trying to think what my favorite sitcom even was.
Who's the Boss?
I mean, Who's the Boss was great.
Was it 10 out of 10?
I don't know.
There were some flat spots. Again, every episode with Alyssa Milano, remember, same age as her, not creepy, 10 out of 10. Tony Danza going, hey, oh, wait.
There's only
10
two
out of 10.
Things I remember from Who's the Boss, and that was the naughty things, as in when Tony walked in on Angela in the bathroom, and there was that episode of Mona where she put her shirt back on the wrong way.
Okay.
Because the pin was on the back. That's pretty much what I remember of the show.
Okay, so you're not giving 10 out of 10 for Who's the Boss.
And when Alyssa Milano grew up and suddenly became this like gorgeous teenager as opposed to a child.
3, 4. Do not derail me, Dory. Same age, not creepy.
Not creepy.
Right. What other sitcom could have been 10 out of 10? I realize we haven't named all 5.
Yes, I know. I'm just thinking of the sitcoms I enjoyed most that may or may not. You know what I really
Perfect
loved?
Strangers?
I mean, Perfect Strangers was great. I don't think I saw every episode, to be honest.
Again, Perfect Strangers, I go, was it great or was I 8? You know, because it's like Balky Bottom.
So silly.
You know?
So silly.
But because that you would not miss, Perfect Strangers. Yeah. That you would not miss.
I mean, if I think about the shows that I loved, and this might even be more 70s than 80s, WKRP in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so it was 80s,
show
it went
that,
over.
That had a very
that was a good one.
Deep imprint on my childhood. I don't think every episode was 10 out of 10.
No.
No.
Again, late at 89, was it great or was I 9? Was it fine or was I 9? A Fresh Prince. But again, I was very much in that moment.
Yeah.
The ones where they throw DJ Jazzy, Jeff. Those are my favorites. Those are 300 out of 10. So was it? Again, okay. So you want to know what they say? This is the only one that I can go, okay, potentially every episode could be 10 out of 10 from what I remember because it was unmissable, Golden Girls.
Okay.
Hmm?
Very funny show.
Could be 10 out of 10.
Could be. The writing was particularly good.
Everything, it was pretty good. The characters were good. So that is the only one that on this list I go, yeah, could be. It's possibly we're not going to watch all 180 episodes.
No.
But
it's definitely in the potential part. For me, that and Family Ties are in of big potentials.
Right.
Big potentials.
Married with Children? No. For me, fucking great. Fantastic.
Yeah. You were a child.
This writer would have had.
You would still find it funny.
Listen. If this writer found older Growing Pains sexist, let me wheel out my Married with Children VHS. Gen Z, have a gander.
You're having a Crocodile Dundee moment. That's not sexist.
Yes, yeah.
This.
Let me show you this. Actually, Al Bundy was equal opportunity. He hated everybody.
I didn't find Married with Children as funny as you did, clearly. I mean, in retrospect, probably more so. It was so cringe. It made me so uncomfortable most of the time.
But didn't we just all grow up to be Al Bundy, no matter what? You grow up wanting to be Alex Keating, and you end up being Al Bundy. And you know what? Who's happier? Who's happy? Spin City? Are we going 90s?
No.
Friends? Ooh. Seinfeld? Ooh. Now we're getting into 90s, but going like, are those 10 out of 10s?
Friends is a very big possibility.
Friends is...
Sure. And I mean, cousin Louis would say for sure.
Mm. Even Seinfeld.
Seinfeld, no, Noel would say for sure. Mm.
So anyway.
I'm still making my way through Seinfeld. I haven't found an episode I haven't enjoyed yet.
I'm saying.
When I'm finished, I'll get back to you.
Okay.
Which will probably be in 5 years' time.
Will you rank them 10 out of 10? No, because you cannot rank.
I already don't rank the ones I've watched all 10 out of 10.
So, Dory, my movie recommendation this week is going to be definitely a 1 out of 10.
Okay.
But you have a series for us.
Yes.
Let's rank it afterwards.
And it's very funny that you've actually just mentioned the purpose for my series.
Ooh, yes.
And I thought, oh no, he's going to say it. He's going to give it away. But you didn't. There is a new series on Apple called Pluribus. It is a sci-fi series.
I will not watch it because I cannot say it. Rule number one of my consumption habits.
You are missing out, is what I'm going to say. If you are yet to watch Pluribus, I think fast forward the podcast now because there are going to be a couple of spoilers. Not spoilers if you've watched the first episode because everything that I tell you has been revealed in the first episode.
You can't spoil a series by the first episode.
No. So pretty much everything that almost everything I'm going to reveal
it's
is
fine.
Revealed in the first
if
episode.
If I can get over yourself. I mean, because you can't like, what actually you're doing is you're actually teasing. Because yes. You go, listen to all the shit that happens in episode one.
Yeah.
What more is coming?
So you actually honestly doing... thought that because I started watching it. I only got through the first half of the first episode on the day I started watching it. And I had no idea what was going on. But I was so intrigued.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to be one of those that's going to really just keep me intrigued for ages until I figure out what's going on. By the end of the first episode, everything is revealed.
You know, you got to love Apple though, because they're very much back in the old school vibe of like one episode a week.
It is one episode a week.
And then shove it in your face.
I have only watched the first few episodes, as has the rest of the world.
But the one thing I'd like them to do is like at a time. Like give it a time. Comes out 8:30, and if you don't see it, get fucked. Like we're not repeating
it. Then you're really going
We're not repeating it.
I love sci-fi, as you know. And I was very excited to start watching the series, also because the main star is one of my favorite actresses. She's not very well known. If you watched Better Call Saul, you'll know her because she's one of the main characters in Better Call Saul. But a lot of people didn't. Even those who loved Breaking Bad, because it's the same guy who made Breaking Bad, has made this series.
Okay.
And Better Call Saul was like a spinoff of Breaking Bad. And you might think, oh, but she's not a main character. She was a sidekick, which she was, but she's actually brilliant.
Right.
The reason I am talking about this series, apart from giving you great SEO, Paolo, which I know you like.
I love SEO and Oreo. If only had SEO Speedwagon, then
yeah,
I'm on board.
I'm just saying, everyone's talking about this series, and here we are.
There we go.
In a nutshell, it's an alien invasion that makes almost everyone in the whole human race on planet Earth have one hive mind. It takes over everyone. But there are a few people who are immune, the main one being our star, played by Rhea Seaborn. Carol is a character name. And she does not get taken over by this. And this hive mind is just happy, helpful, good, basically wants to save humanity. It's not like an evil alien invasion. It is a positive thing, unless, of course, you want to keep your brain for yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, I know.
Sci-fi's been a lot of work.
So she...
You know what I mean?
So she's one of the few people who has not been joined to the hive mind. And she is a very angry, cynical person. And the whole world completely changes overnight because of this. I won't give the one spoiler. she does go through a trauma. I won't give it away necessarily. When she realizes that she's pretty much alone, because even the other people who have not been part of the hive mind are not feeling like she is. They want to join the hive mind. She's like, no. Individuality is the most important thing. We have to stop this. This is a scourge. This is terrible. Whereas other people are like, oh, this is great. We're fixing the world. So she is the lone, and I mean, the actual payoff line of the show is something like, the unhappiest person on earth has to save the world from happiness. That's basically the description of it. And it is exactly that. And she's so perfectly cast for that because she has what people call RBF.
She does have that, correct, yes.
Yes. So she's really, in fact, I read an article that said when they were creating the series, they totally had her in mind for the character from the start, which is awesome.
Yeah, RBF, resting bulky face.
Yes, yeah. Let's call it
so
that.
So when you look out.
When she realizes that she is just, this is her life now and she is screwed, what she does is she just binge watches the Golden Girls. She gets drunk. She just takes all the alcohol that she has and she sits and she takes her Golden Girls DVDs and all she does is watch the Golden Girls and get drunk. And I thought it was really interesting that it was specifically the Golden Girls that they chose.
It's 10 out of 10 show.
Well, there is that. But then I thought, if I'm finding this interesting, somebody else has found this interesting. And there is an article, which I will put on our Facebook page, called The Golden Girls is More Relevant to Pluribus Than You Think, which explains why The Golden Girls is actually really meaningful in the show. And the main thing that the article points out is how The Golden Girls worked because they were such different personalities, such unique people, and they would fight. Every episode they would fight about something, but no love was ever lost. They got along really well in the end. Because they were friends.
Going into the thing, so when you look at all the comedy, all the sitcoms that were ranked 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Family Ties, Growing Pains, it was very much about perfection, right? Where Murphy Brown and Night Court were workplace comedies, a little bit different. But Golden Girls was a family, but they were actually dysfunctional, really.
Yes.
It was a different take on a family.
Yes.
I'm coming around to it.
Yes. So I thought it was really cool, first of all, that And they show actual scenes from the Golden Girls during the show, which you forget how absolutely hilarious that show was. I mean, I don't, because I watch clips on social media of it regularly. But the specific clips that they've shown are also very meaningful to the show.
What are we recommending here? Golden Girls and Pluribus.
Both, absolutely.
So in between, when you're waiting for a new episode of Pluribus to come out week by week.
Yes, watch the Golden Girls.
Watch the Golden Girls. Right. Ooh, so now I'm intrigued because, will they bring back a hologram of Estelle Getty? Who's the only living Golden Girl? Or have they all passed away?
I think they're all gone now.
Okay.
Betty White was the last, wasn't she?
She was the last. Okay.
I think they're all gone.
Okay. Keep me updated on what happens with Golden Girls and Pluribus.
Mm-hmm.
I actually had no fucking interest in watching it whatsoever.
Oh, no, it's not.
But that's interesting. You know what? It's her RBF.
Yeah.
I just can't get past that. I don't want to be. It's kind of like, I can't look at that shit. Anyway, okay.
It really works though.
Calling your face, I can't look at that shit. Dory, this week I bring you a movie that has been labeled the most dangerous movie ever made.
Dangerous to watch or dangerous while it was being made?
The tagline of this movie is, no animals are harmed in the making of this film. 70 cast and crew were.
Okay.
Oh boy, I'm back. I am back.
Okay.
It's kind of like Tiger King before Tiger King, but nothing is made up. The movie's called Roar. R-O-A-R, like a lion does. Roar.
Oh, I thought it was R-A-W.
No, that's okay. Eddie Murphy. Oh, I watched the Eddie Murphy documentary on Netflix. Fucking Eddie Murphy, literally the man can do no wrong.
Oh, I must watch that.
He can do no wrong.
Okay.
He'll no wrong, Eddie Murphy will do. You'll try to say, I was a bit, no wrong. Anyway, it's called Roar as in a lion. It was originally called Lions, Lions, and More Lions. Not made by idiots, story. It's kind of based on a true story and kind of dramatization of not a true story. So it stars the very famous name, Tippi Hedren.
Oh, I know that name.
You know, she was in Birds, Alfred Hitchcock. She was in quite a few things. She is the mother of Melanie Griffith.
She is indeed.
Who is in this movie. 19-year-old Melanie Griffith. Gorgeous, by the way.
Oh, totally.
Hey, I've never seen Melanie. Gorgeous. Okay.
Okay.
She's in this movie along with Peter Griffith.
Okay.
Big name, check. First movie, check. Someone should have known. Well, they should have known better. So it's a family. Now, Peter Griffith and Tippi Hedren loved wild animals, like in real life.
Okay.
Lions, tigers, cougars, jackals, panthers, leopards.
So cats.
Coyotes.
Cats.
No, coyotes.
Oh, dogs.
Elephants.
Elephants.
They loved animals. They actually had a sanctuary of lions, animals, all right.
Okay.
So they wanted to make a movie to raise awareness of conservation, right? And they said, no, we got this great movie. It's going to be set in Africa. And we're going to talk about these people who look after lions and animals.
Was there a sanctuary set in Africa?
So they couldn't shoot in Africa. They couldn't get the budget. So they built a sanctuary. They built Africa in their house.
Okay.
Right, to shoot this movie. The story is quite stupid. Nobody else wanted to star in the movie because they're like, it's very fucking dangerous because these animals were actual real fucking wild animals, not trained. There were almost 200 different animals in this movie, all big animals, all big game.
Right.
Not trained.
Just right? On the set.
And now humans are interacting with them. Now, the family were used to the animals. Almost charming. It's cute. Lions around. Tigers. Frolicking. Whatever. Cats fucking around. You got a cat.
I got two.
You got two cats. You know what cats are like.
Yes.
Now, imagine they're massive. And there's a lot of them.
Right.
So, the first group of people arrive and they say, listen, you guys can't have these fucking animals. This is crazy. They say, fuck you. This is our animals. Okay? No one's going to take our animals. Animals lose their shit, take over the plantation.
And Tippi didn't learn from the birds?
No, she didn't. I mean, she obviously went, you know what? You know what would be more fun than the birds? Lions.
Mm.
Lions. This plot of the movie is fucking ridiculous. It's so dumb.
So is it a documentary or a movie?
Should have been a documentary. It would have worked better as a documentary, but they decided to make it a narrative. They shot a documentary style with hidden cameras, run and gun. Tippi and Peter Griffith's other kids were also in this because, like I said, no one would work on this movie.
Right.
Why? Because every time you see the people fucking around with the animals, again, you got cats, you play with your cat, they run your arm, they go, lions. The people are getting fucked up by the animals on screen, on camera.
So they had more medics than like crew, probably.
Blood is real.
Yeah.
The blood is real. So you can see it. You can see Hollywood blood and you can see real blood. These people are really getting hurt by the animals. There's a scene where the tigers attack the guys who come and say, you can't have these animals.
Yeah.
They attack them in the water. Those tigers don't know they're fucking playing around. Right?
Yeah.
The lions, there's another scene where these lions trap the family in the house. And the family are now maneuvering through the house to get away from the lions. There's no fucking acting. They're literally trying to get away from these lions who, for some reason, are very fucking angry with them now and are going after them. It's every time a person is swatted, a person is gripped by a lion paws at somebody.
Mm.
It's not CGI.
No.
The violence is so fucking real. Production of this movie lasted for 11 years.
11 years?
Because it just kept getting paused and delayed. Now, we're going from the first time it was greenlit to building, to shooting, to on and off. The final shoot was 5 years long.
What year did this movie come out?
So it came out early 80s.
But it started
in the 70s.
Was that pre-animal monitoring humane society era?
Fucking definitely not, Dory.
Because I'm thinking that if the humane society was on set, they would have shut it down.
That's what it. So there was definitely not that.
Yeah.
Even human society was not on set. So like, why it got delayed? They ran out of money. The fake Africa they made got flooded. They had to rebuild. They sold 4 of their houses. Tippi Hedren was selling shit that Alfred Hitchcock gave her, like for on the birds, as auctions to raise money to keep this movie going.
Wow, at some point you got to just say, okay, we're done.
Do you want to hear about some of the 70 people were hurt? They ended up shooting this movie by like everyone doing their own thing because crew was just walking off en masse.
I do want to hear as much as possible.
Okay. The cinematographer, scalped by a lion. Oh, a lion bit him in the head and held on for 25 minutes. He needed 200 stitches.
Oh, my God.
Tippi Hedren, bitten on the back of her head by a lion. She broke her leg when an elephant threw her. She was on an elephant. The elephant threw her. The scene's there. You see the actual fucking scene where she lands. Because that is not acting.
Yeah.
She contracted gangrene from her multiple injuries. Noel Marshall, one of the sons, he was bitten multiple times by male lions. He also developed blood poisoning and gangrene. There is one particular scene where you actually see his hand is like,
ew.
That is not good. One of the assistant directors was attacked by a lion. His throat, jaw, and head was injured, and he nearly lost an ear. Scratches, bites, gashes were order of the day. Melanie Griffith, she was mauled by a lion. She needed 50 stitches and reconstructive surgery near her eye. On top of that, the movie made no money. No one got it. Some of the acting is hilarious, except by the lions. And you're kind of going, you know what, rich Hollywood people, get fucked up by a lion. I think it's okay.
This sounds more entertaining than Tiger King, I'll be honest.
No, way more. Because Tiger King, those animals in Tiger King, they were so fucking drugged and malnourished and whatever. No.
This is like the real deal.
They were fucking very well fed. They built, as part of this, they had this massive, massive like storage unit, like a container fridge unit for all the meat for the animals.
Yes.
Okay. No, these animals were all very, they were romping. They were romping.
Where was this filmed? Like, which part of the country?
America.
Yes, but where? Like in the rural area?
No, it's like on their outlying Los Angeles.
There was no like legality issues of having these creatures there?
Again, I'm going with the 70s. You see, they had a sanctuary, so they had the permission to keep them. You see, because out of this, they had
but
a sanctuary.
Surely in a sanctuary, they're not supposed to be in your home.
Well, if your home is by the sanctuary.
It's so
potato,
weird.
Potato, Dory.
Okay.
Now, I mean, Tippi Hedren, this was their life work. They wanted to have the sanctuary, and they subsequently had it. And there is a website called Raw the Movie, which actually you can go, lots of video clips, none of the violence, photos, the backstory, you can donate to the reserve. So this is their
life. Still exists.
No, this is their, and they've subsequently got the other reserves in East Africa, and they partner with them. This is Tippi Hedren and Peter Griffith's life work.
Okay,
this is what they always wanted to do. And like, if it was a documentary, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Why make a movie out of it? It was, they call it a comedy, but it's definitely a horror. It's definitely a thriller.
How did you even find this?
Sorry, my wife actually found it for me. She said, oh, you have got to talk about this. The most dangerous movie ever made. Made in the 80s. I'm all over it. Melanie Griffith, she's quoted on the site, the Raw site. She says, lions are a really tough act to play with. Not because they're dangerous, but because they are so funny. They upstage you every time. If you're in a shot with a lion, you just know everyone is looking at the cat instead of you. Yes, because they'll fucking run away. I'm fucking keeping my eye on the lion. Fuck Melanie Griffith, I don't care where you are.
Yeah.
Where is the lion? You know? So she's obviously very traumatized by this experience.
I definitely want to watch this.
You got, Dari, no, you don't. It's shit. What I'll do, what you got to do is you got to watch the clips. You actually feel the danger. You actually feel uncomfortable. It's almost like an animal snuff film.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like it hits a point where you go, fuck, this is just dangerous to watch.
Yeah.
Let alone be in it. And these are people that were used to lions and they're getting fucking swatted around. You know how strong a lion is?
Yes.
Fucking just swatted them.
Is the whole movie on YouTube?
The whole movie is on YouTube. Of course, I would bring you nothing less.
Okay. I might wait for the clips, but then you've got to post them on our Facebook page.
Definitely will do. You can also go check it out in the show notes. Now, Dory, it's that time of year. The Google alerts are firing off every day last Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
When you came in here today...
Yes.
What was I playing?
Last Christmas.
Okay. Now,
I didn't even notice at first because it's so normal.
Just part of it. I wanted to be sure. Now, I don't know when last you went to Clicks. I don't know what radio station listening to. You know, no, I don't know if anyone is playing Last Christmas yet. It's disgusting, but they might not be.
Yeah, I haven't heard it out in the wild yet.
I wanted to be sure that your first viewing of Last Christmas out in the wild was today in a safe space before I bring you what I'm about to bring you.
Okay.
Because we know often there are Last Christmas variations going around.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everyone's done one. They've all done bad ones. except for the frog one, that bing, ding, 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 that kind of gets stuck in my head. I can't say I hate it, right? All is somebody doing a variation of Last Christmas. Do you know?
I'm bracing myself.
Oh, brace, 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 Dory. Do you know Priyanka Chopra?
And it's Deepak Chopra's daughter?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. She's married to a Jonas brother. She's famous. Beautiful. She was Miss India. Bollywood star. Bollywood superstar. Dance, sang. You know her. Priyanka Chopra. Way more successful, smarter, everything. She's married to fucking Jonas. She has always loved the song Last Christmas and went, you know, I want to do my own version of it. Now, I can't tell if this is a joke or what, but I want to play you her version of Last Christmas. Put your ears around these, around this bad boy. Now, I mean, there's no ownership. There is. Anyway, people are going to shoot their shots. And right. I'm sure culturally you must go, hey, fuck, yes, I definitely want to hear Last Christmas that in my language, you know?
Mostly.
But look, these things happen and it's my duty to bring it to you. All right? It's just my duty to bring it to you. But I'm, like I say, the palate cleanser will play Last Christmas Pudding Mix. I sounded so drunk there. Last Christmas Pudding Mix on the way out. Do you want to hear about what's happening in the charts with Christmas songs?
Yes, because I know that there's lots of contenders this year.
Lots of contenders. Wham have been 2 years, Last Christmas been 2 years in a row. They're back in the charts at number 21 already, right? Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas, is at number 25. There's a challenger in Kylie Minogue. She's in the charts at number 72. So
I mean, it's still November.
Still November. Michael Bublé has popped into the charts as well, but he's like in the hundreds. So yeah, I kind of wonder if it's like too early to be that high, or we're just like starting from, I mean, are we going to go like fucking 5 or 6 weeks Christmas number one for Wham? It has to be. That's the only conclusion we're going with here.
Yes, let's hope. You know? So this Priyanka version is not in the charts.
I'm sure they're in charts. I'm sure.
Just not in the...
You know the irony of it. You know, anything that goes big in India, it just goes fucking massive because it's just so many people.
Right.
So like, I mean, could be the biggest selling version of Last Christmas ever. You know, she's married to a Jonas. And that's not all her life is about, marrying a Jonas.
I understand.
Very well decorated.
It's just not a great version. Let's be honest here. We are biased.
But is it? Okay.
We are biased. If I had never heard the original of Last Christmas, would I have gone, oh, this is nice?
The music's nice. It makes you feel good because it's Last Christmas. What makes you feel good?
Also, we don't understand what she's saying for most of the song, but then she bursts into English.
Oh, but we can assume the words are the same. She's not going to change.
Yes, I know. I'm saying, like, if we had never heard Last Christmas.
She's got a nice voice.
Pleasant. She's got that thing that so many of the new singers have where they can't really sing, so they get all breathy.
Auto-tune.
Well, no, they just get all breathy because they can't actually
auto-tune.
Sing.
Yeah. No, okay. But she can sing, though. I mean, she's Bollywood. She's a star.
Yes.
Look,
I am going to be very hard to please on this front.
I even shat on Thomas Anders' version of Last Christmas.
Exactly.
I mean, so you are shit out of luck on that one. Shit out of luck. Do you want to play 280's Truths and a Lie, Dory?
Always.
I got 280's Truths and a Lie Cheers Edition.
Okay.
For no reason. Nothing
for no
to
reason
do.
Whatsoever.
Nothing to do. Okay, Dory. The bar is actually never called Cheers in dialogues. It's Cheers in the show's branding credits and on the exterior sign, but they never call it Cheers. Number one.
Wait. When the phone rings, do they not answer it and say Cheers?
Never say Cheers. They never call the bar Cheers. Number two, Norm's beer count. Calculated, Norm's bar tally at the end is $125,000.
Okay.
And factoid number three, every single scene of the show is set in the bar. They never leave the bar. Two are true, one is a lie.
Okay.
Never call Cheers, $125,000 bar tab. They never leave the bar.
I'm still a bit wary of that first one. I think that they must have answered the phone and said Cheers. I think that's the lie.
No, that's true. As is the bar tab is also true as calculated as being $125,000. No, every scene is not set in the bar.
Oh.
Yeah, so that is the lie.
That's all I remember.
Can I give you another? Can I give you one last one?
Sure.
This is actually 100% fucking true. Bill Cosby was originally offered the role of Sam Malone in Cheers.
Holy shit.
They wrote that, yes, they were considering casting Bill Cosby. They offered him the role, but the creators of it said, we don't want no cello shots. This has been That 80s Show. Thanks for joining me, Dory. Goodbye. Goodbye, Dory.